Hello and welcome to the March 2009 edition of Hot Type Security Books and Audio, brought to you by CertSecurity.com. I'm Billy Hurley. As always, our Hot Type podcast bring you free excerpts from recently published information security books. Today's featured author is Jim Stickley. Jim Stickley, the author of the book The Truth About Identity Theft, is CTO and Vice President of Strategic Operations at Trace Security Incorporated. He was one of the original founders of Trace Security and is a renowned security expert. Jim has also been involved in thousands of security services for financial institutions, Fortune 100 corporations, healthcare facilities, legal firms, insurance companies, and government agencies. He has even physically breached the security of more than 1,000 facilities nationwide and has had access to billions of dollars through stolen identities. Jim, thanks for being here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What kinds of work were you doing when you had that kind of access with stolen identities?
Same type of things I'm doing now. Corporations come to us and say, hey, you know, we're very concerned. Everybody's seeing about identity theft and hearing about it, and they don't want to be the next bad news headline. So they come up and just say, hey, you know, can you verify that, you know, we think we're secure, we think we've got good policies, we think we've got good security in place all the way around. We want to prove it now. And so they'll give us X piece of data. They'll say, you know, steal this from our database or get into this server or, you know, maybe it's not specifically related to that type of data. Maybe they're more worried about the physical structure of going in and taking things and carrying them out, whether it be servers or equipment or whatever. And then our task is to figure out how to get that data or get those pieces of equipment or whatever it is they want us to steal.
It seems like you've had some success there. What does that say about the state of organization security?
It still has a little ways to go. We've had a lot of success. In fact, it's rare. I don't think we've ever had a situation where the first time we've gone to an organization, we weren't successful. There's just so many ways to get in. You know, it's kind of like anything. You know, you talk about like terrorism, and you know, the government always says, hey, you know, there's zillions of terrorists we have to worry about, and there's just us. You know, and it just takes one to get through to cause a problem. And the same kind of mentality is here. You know, you might have the best security on the planet, but you have one employee who's maybe not so bright and does something stupid and gives away the keys to the kingdom. So it's a challenge.
Would you say that most of the defenses or most of the times that you get in, is it because of just a lack of maybe employee training, or is it come down to just like human error?
Yeah, I would say 90% of the time it comes down to a mistake. You know, the employee did that one thing they shouldn't have done, whether it be they let us in the facility and didn't escort us, or whether it be they installed some sort of malicious software that we sent them through email, or, you know, whether it be they just gave us information over the telephone. You know, it just takes one moment of, you know, that one lapse in judgment to make all the difference in the world. I mean, there are the cases where we actually do hack in where, you know, they didn't have good security in place or they made mistakes and didn't patch systems, and those work as well. But that's really kind of old school now. I mean, hacking's kind of, you know, a past type of thing. You don't really have to hack anymore.
Jim, in your book, The Truth About Identity Theft, you review many ways that an identity can be stolen. What kinds of identity theft attacks does an enterprise need to be particularly concerned with?
Well, I mean, their main goal is protecting that data. If, for example, you're a financial institution, and you've got, or not even just a financial institution, any organization that's storing like all their personnel records. I mean, you've seen numerous cases with that, where they have social security numbers, names, addresses, all the information you need to be an identity thief. You need to make sure that stuff's being protected. So it's just a matter of what are they doing to keep that data from ending up in somebody else's hands. And the problem is there's so many ways to lose that data and so many mistakes you can make with that data.
Jim, does today's economic climate cause more identity thefts, do you think?
I'm expecting it to go up. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer that crime always increases when, you know, things are bad. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. And right now, I think it's 5% of all identity theft is prosecuted, which means 95% of the time, if you're going to commit identity theft, you're going to get away with it. That's pretty good odds and a pretty good reason to become an identity thief.
Great, Jim. Now, Chapter 11 of your book, on social engineering, is available on our CertSecurity.com bookshelf, which you can visit by going to CertSecurity.com/bookshelf. Jim, why don't you walk us through that chapter?
Sure. In that particular chapter, I was talking about social engineering, and a bank had contacted us and said, hey, you know, we want to make sure we're installing a new VPN solution into our network. We're going to allow our employees to be able to log in from home. we want to make sure we've done this right, that we've got the proper security in place, and that we have the right policies in place. From that point, go have at it. See what you can do. And we said, okay. So the first thing I did was I went back, and I wanted to find out who their IT manager was. So, because eventually I wanted to impersonate him or her. So I called up, and I said, hey, I'm having a problem right now, and I need to talk to your IT department. And they go, well, you know, what's your problem? And I go, I'm getting malicious emails from your bank. Somebody's attacking me from your bank. And immediately that gets them nervous. So they forward you right on over to the IT manager. In this case, we'll call him Bill Smith. And so I get Bill Smith on the phone. I go, hey, Bill, having this problem, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't want Bill to really be freaking out. All I really wanted to know is who it was. So I start telling him about this email, and I tell him that it's coming from some domain that's not their domain. And he goes, oh, that's not our bank. That's somebody else's bank. And I go, oh, my mistake. I'll call them. That immediately shuts it down on their side. There's no red flags continuing up. And they go back to being happy at their bank. In the meantime, I got the name of the person I needed. The next thing I want to know is I want to know who their staff is, who their employees are. So at night, I'll call back. And have you ever noticed at night when you call up their phone systems, most of the time it'll say, hey, you know, it's after hours, blah, blah, blah. If you know the person's extension, you can dial it now. Otherwise, for a company directory, press pound. So you press pound, and it'll say, enter the person's, you know, first three initials of their first or last name, whatever it happens to be. I'll just hit one number on my keypad. Hit that one number and wait. Most phone systems will time out after a few seconds and start listing off all the names for those first three letters on that particular number. So then I start writing them all down, you know, Jim Stickley, Bill Smith, you know, Mary Jane, whatever it happens to be, I get all of their names. It's a very simple way to get a lot of information about the employees. So now I have all of their names, and I know who their IT manager is. So the next day I hang up, call up them on the next day and say, hey, I'm calling up. I need to talk to Mary Jane. Now, before I ask for this particular person, I'll spoof my phone number. And you can do that. There's a lot of products out there already that'll change the phone numbers for you. If you have a cell phone and you're into hacking at all, you've probably already played with the ability to change your phone number and make it look like you're calling from the White House or wherever you want to be calling from. So what I'll do is I'll make it look like I'm calling from their internal line or the same phone number as their local office. So I can make it look like it came from an extension. You know, it might look like it's coming from 1,000 or from 0 or from a phone number of their local location. It doesn't really matter. So that way, when whoever answers on their line looks at the phone number on their caller ID, it looks like it's coming from their local office, which makes it more trusted. So I get a hold of the first person, and I go, hey, this is Bill Smith from the IT department. And they go, hi, Bill. And I go, hey, right now I notice that you're having a problem with your account. And they go, no, I'm not having any problem at all. And you go, oh, well, I noticed that on the login in my logs, I'm seeing that you're having an error. And they go, huh, that's really weird. And I go, do me a favor, log out, log back in. And they go, okay. And, you know, as far as they're concerned, I'm the IT god. I mean, the IT department calls up and tells you to do something with your system. You generally do it. So they log out, they log back in. I go, okay, I see you logged back in. I'm still seeing the same error. Do me a favor, log out again, log back in again, blah, blah, blah. I ask them to do it several different ways. In the meantime, I'm just joking around with them and talking to them and basically becoming comfortable with them. Then I'll say, hey, you know what login name are you using? Because it doesn't look right. And they'll go, oh, I'm using Mary. And I'll go, huh, hold on one second, Mary. And I'll start clicking buttons on my side. And I'll say, all right, now, when you log out this time, do you see this happen? Do you see this? And I'll start making stuff up. It doesn't really matter. I know they're not going to see anything because I'm not really doing anything. And eventually, I get more and more frustrated. And I say, all right, tell you what, let me go ahead and try to log in on this side. What a password do you use? And generally, if you just throw it out real quick, real casual, they'll just go, oh, okay. And if they hesitate at all, you just go, hey, you know, IT department, don't worry about it. I mean, I can just change your password if you want. And they'll go, oh, no, you know, I'll just give it to you, because most of the time they're going to trust the IT department. So they give me their password, and now I've got their username and I've got their password. And since they have a VPN, I can now VPN right over to their network, use that username and password, and now I'm on their internal network. Once I'm on the network, it takes only a couple minutes to get into their online banking applications, and now I start pulling down all of their customers' information. And it's a very simple process. And, I mean, that particular one, I've done that on more than one occasion. I mean, that one we've done numerous times. And most of the time people go, well, wait a minute. Will somebody really fall for that? Is it really that simple? And generally speaking, you can kind of get a read as you're on the phone with people. You know, you start walking them through, and they go, hey, you know, I'm not really comfortable, or how come you don't know my name? Or if they start seeming suspicious at all, You just go, oh, you know what, it's all working great, never mind, click, and you hang up. You know, you end it on a nice way. On the other hand, if you feel you've got that vibe, that you've got a good relationship going and you're all communicating, that's when you go for that password. And the nice thing is, I got lots of people to choose from. If one employee doesn't fall for it, I'm just going to call the next person on the list until I get a hold of the person that I do want. So it makes it a really, really easy attack. The other thing is that people go sometimes, well, how is it that they don't know Bill Smith already? And, you know, there's two things that go along that line. First of all, it's rare the IT department's hanging out with, like, the tellers. IT, you know, I'm in the IT department on my side, so I can say it. I mean, I'm the biggest booger eater on the planet. I'm generally not hanging out with those people on the other side. We just don't really have the same kind of lifestyles. So already I might not have that relationship. And the thing is, like that, when you're an identity thief, you have nothing to lose. So you can just go for it. I mean, you can just say anything. You can just wing it. And if you get caught, who cares? You hang up. And if you don't get caught, you pull it off. So that's why identity theft is so easy.
So, Jim, after an incident like that, what do you advise an organization to do so that employees don't get caught up in this kind of situation?
Once the whole scam's over and done, we always go back and talk to the employees a day or two later. Say, hey, you know, what happened? How did this go? So we start talking to the employees, and we go, hey, you know, you have policies. They say very clearly you are not allowed to give out your password. No matter what, do not give it out. What happened? And they go, well, he's the IT guy. You know, he was internal. He's one of our own. I figure he's the guy who not only should we be able to trust, but he has access to my account. He's the one who set my account up to begin with. So why wouldn't I give it to him? And we go, well, mentally, I guess that makes sense. You know, they kind of start making excuses of why it's okay to give it out. And really, that's how I end this chapter, is by talking about the fact that the advice that I give is the exact same advice that's already out there, that you already have in policies, that have already been preached a million times, and that is never give out your password. And it sounds so easy, but it's just apparently a lot more difficult in reality to practice that particular portion, because you do want to trust people, and you do want to have this ability to work with people. And if somebody that you feel is in your department and that you can trust asks you for it, you just give it to them. And I mean, the best test that I would say to do on this particular one, if you want to try this out for yourself, and I would go to your IT guy, whoever it is, and say, hey, I want you to call every single person at their desk and ask them for their password. And I mean, just legitimately, the IT guy being the IT guy, have him just call up and say, hey, I need your password for every single person in there, and see how many people give your IT guy the password. If even one person gives them the password, your organization's at risk, and if it was me, I would have broken into it.
Very interesting stuff, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Hey, my pleasure.
That was author Jim Stickley of Trace Security. His book is The Truth About Identity Theft. Be sure to visit sticklyonsecurity.com for security tips and the latest alerts. To read the full chapter on social engineering, go to searchsecurity.com/bookshelf. To learn more and to check out our other information security podcasts, visit our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Billy Hurley. Thanks for listening.